So, Berto, do you know what a cuckold fetish is?
I do.
What is it?
In general, normally a male in a relationship with a female gets sexual pleasure from either imagining or seeing the female with other males.
His partner.
His partner, yeah, with other males.
So a husband wants his wife to have sex with another man,
right?
While he watches,
as an example, and in many cases, humiliation or demeaning things are also part of it. Like a little bit of masochism, can be part of it.
So he wants his wife to make fun of him. Like, if you were more of a man, I wouldn't have to have sex with this stud instead of you.
Right?
Yeah.
And any range of things, probably. Yeah.
Do you have this fetish?
I like the idea. The quick background on this is like when I was younger, when like I was in my early 20s, I was a very jealous person. And it didn't start that way. Like when I was a teenager, I was not like that. But right around like when I was like 19, 20, like I had a relationship and it was like I was really jealous. And I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back on it, it was really bizarre.
Like pathologically jealous.
I mean, yeah, I would do stuff like I would look for problems like, who's that? You know, like, did you talk to that guy? Oh, I bet you think he's cute or things like that. Or like, I remember this one. So I had this girlfriend and she was in a dorm and across from her dorm room, the girls on the dorm room across for the hall, they had a picture on their door and the picture was of like a Playgirl pinup guy, right? And they had a little
full frontal,
yeah, but they had put a little flap of paper on top of the member so that it wouldn't be quite in display in the hallway, but people could walk by and lift the flap if they wanted. And I remember getting like upset, like, did you lift the flap? You know, it's like, you can't handle the truth, like, did you order the code flap?
You were actually like angry.
I remember being angry. I mean obviously it's years and years, but I remember this feeling of like, oh, like if you lifted that flap, you know?
That's so bizarre. I cannot see you being that way.
I know, right? But it's like at the time, it was a mix of, you know, part of what happened is, this is very interesting that, like, I think I inherited things from my dad either genetically or through watching at a very young age. He definitely said things growing up, or like now in retrospect, I'm like, I think he's kind of a misogynist in some ways, you know? But anyways, the long story short is that I had that, plus that the girlfriend at the time, the biggest irony of it all is like she was like the last type of person on earth that's the kind to like cheat. And yet I had gone out with girlfriends before that who actually had cheated, and I never felt this way. So I don't know if it was like projection or resentment. I don't know what it was, but it was like the most bizarre mix of things. Like with the one person I didn't really need to be worried about these kind of things, I was super worried. And with other people that I had never really cared, like they actually had cheated on me. Like at least one of them had, you know. And so it's like, I couldn't write explain it. And plus I wasn't like very self-aware at the time that I was that way. I just was that way. So now fast forward, and like through the years, there was many changes in my life and things. I started becoming less that way, less possessive, less jealous about stuff. And eventually I kind of swung the other way. I was like, what's the big deal with like, why do we think we can own someone and like, they can only think of me and for all of eternity, they will only touch these set of molecules. And it just became kind of comical to me to think that that's how we are, you know? And I'm not saying that it's not necessarily fake that we are programmed this way in a sense, but I found it more and more comical to think of it that way. So over time I started thinking, yeah, what's the big deal? Within some bounds. So I thought, well, if I'm in a relationship and we're at a party and she makes out with some dude, I mean, it's unless afterwards she's like, hey, I made out with a dude. Now I'm leaving you because his lips taste like sugar, lemon, honey.
This is your polyamorous leaning.
Yeah, I guess so, right? And then that evolved to one of the ways in which I am sometimes turned on is the thought of my partner having like any number of types of encounters with other men or women, actually, too, you know, like
sexual encounters.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, that's the transition that I don't get. The other I can see. Okay, right. You're jealous. You're young. Right. You're immature. You're misogynistic. You don't know any better. You don't know how to deal with things.
Right.
And then as you grow older, you grow wiser, and you realize jealousy is stupid. Why be that way? And you learn how to emotionally regulate. And then you start thinking, you know what? Hey, what is monogamy? You know, right, how right, about right. people? But there's a massive leap between that and now it turns me on to imagine my partner having sex with other men and also men that you know.
The men that I know bit, it's like, that one is just like a little too predictable, right? Because like you tend to fantasize about things that you have some awareness of rather than, I suppose some people have fantasies with complete faceless strangers, me in my life.
Or a celebrity or something, but not people. I'm not, so what I'm trying to get at is what do you think was that transition into, because essentially what we're saying is, correct me if I'm wrong, you get a sexual charge or a bigger boner from imagining a various different fantasies, and one of which happens to be imagining your partner, whomever you're with, to have sex with another man.
I think it also it's not whomever I'm with. It depends. Like if I'm with a partner that is more the opposite of that,
kind of promiscuous.
Yeah, like then I don't really think of, like it's almost like it's an inverse relationship. The more the person is like think of it like pure or like not right. gonna do that kind of stuff, the more I think in my head it turns me on to think that they would.
Why is that, do you think?
Maybe it's the whole Madonna complex or what. I mean,
yeah, like, why do people have Madonna complexes?
I don't know. In my head it's kind of like the corruption aspect of it.
Yeah.
I've never actually, this all been fantasies for me. And even in the fantasies, there's always like boundaries for me. And the one big boundary for me is that I never actually want to feel, which I think is a little different from maybe the more traditional cuckold thing. I never want to feel devalued or disrespected in any way. Like that's not a turn on for me.
Right.
But what is the sort of polyamorous aspect of like, hey, you go have fun with it, especially when they're the least kind of person to do that in the first place. So it's this kind of complex thing in my head.
But correct me if I'm wrong, you get pleasure from imagining your partner having pleasure with another man.
Yeah, in that context, yes.
Right. But you don't want her to turn around and humiliate you and devalue you.
Yeah, and I want to feel just as part of that imagination, or that if it were a reality, I suppose.
Like whatever. A threesome fantasy?
I guess so, yeah. It's more complex if I think of actually ever going through with something like that, because in reality, what I would want is would look a lot more like, hey, you were at a party, you made out with a dude for a while, maybe a little touchy-touchy, cool. But I'm not sure the kind of extent of the fantasies I might have, I think, is further than I might actually be comfortable in real life.
Right.
Just like, you know, people might fantasize like, ooh, I took her up and we did it in the elevator, and if people were watching us through the windows, but in reality, maybe they don't go that far. You
right.
know?
Yeah. There's a big difference between fantasy and actually doing it. And I find that people that actually explore these things often find that the reality is way less sexy, if at all sexy, compared to the fantasy. But you, and just to operationalize this, if you don't mind, and we can cut any of this out if you want, is that you will ask your partners, your peer partners, to describe to you how they would have sex with your friends or other people that you might know. You're not just fantasizing about it in your mind, or do you ever just fantasize it in your mind?
I think it's both. By the way, the people that I know has been like a... That's happened, but it's not common.
I see.
Like, meaning the fantasy part.
So so you might have your partners describe to you situations with just a faceless person.
Not faceless, but unknown. Like, I actually like to hear. I like to hear, what ethnicity are they? How tall are they?
Do you have a preference of ethnicity?
Not really. I just like variety. Like, actually, one of the things that turns me on is the thought that she would have variety.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
She wants an Indian guy.
It's a buffet.
Black guy.
We're gonna try it all.
Russian dude.
Yeah.
And women too. Like you don't mind if it's women.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the Psychology in Seattle podcast.
Is it?
I am your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I am chair of the Couple and Family Therapy Program at Antioch University, Seattle, and I am also a practicing psychotherapist.
And my name is Humberto Castaneda. I repair swatches.
The reason why we're talking about this is because a patron emailed in. I want to remind everyone that you should become a patron of the podcast. In fact,
a Patreon.
I think I'm going to make this a patron exclusive episode. What do you say? What do you think about that?
This is spicy enough to be Patreon exclusive.
So I declare this episode is just for patrons of the podcast. So if you're listening to this and you're not a patron of the podcast, this episode will end before the rest of the content begins. And believe me, we're really going to get into this stuff. If you want to hear the full episode, you have to become a patron of the podcast by going to patreon.com. Patrons of the podcast get access to exclusive episodes like this one, along with other various benefits and swag. And know that 20% of your monthly pledge goes towards various charities that we support. Some of the swag, for instance, Umberto, is this Psychology in Seattle mug.
Ooh, I haven't seen it yet. I want one of these. This is amazing.
Yeah.
It's got all these amazing pictures from us on the podcast, as well as little baby picture of Honda with, is that you with headphones?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is so badass. The official mug for deserving listeners. How do I have to be a deserving listener to get one of these?
You have to be a $20 a month pledger.
Holy crap.
And
this is awesome.
Yeah. Because it's actually quite expensive to make.
I'm sure it is.
So
these are high quality photos.
Yeah. And I like the size of the mug too, and it's got a good handle.
Yeah, it's got a spiffy handle.
Yeah. And do you know where that one picture is from? The one of our backs?
Yeah, from Talk to the Girl.
Yeah. No.
No?
No. That's from New Year's Eve, like 08 to...
Oh, at Ken's?
No, at the Hotel W.
What? Okay, so we're reaching way back. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember that night?
Yeah. Okay, I see why I meant... This is obviously not the bathroom at my old house, but for right. a second I thought this was us getting ready in that
yeah,
shoot.
That's
yeah.
the hotel room.
That's funny.
You see Lita there and Paulette.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So become a patron, and if you want, become a $20 a month patron. You don't have to be a $20 a month patron. You can be a $5. Most people are $5 a month.
What I would like is I would like to watch as they donate to other podcasts.